If you have your Bibles, turn with me. 1 Chronicles, chapter 21. I am going to be reading out of verse 1 and 2. Then I will skip down to verse 8 and read down through verse 13. And I want you to notice the reading of the Word of the Lord. Would you stand with me, please, while we read? And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me that I may know it." Verse 8. David said unto God, "I have sinned greatly, because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, do away thine iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." And the Lord said unto Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go, tell David, saying, Thus saith the Lord, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee." So Gad came to David and said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, either 3 years famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while the sword of thine enemies overtake thee, or 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence, in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coast of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself, what words shall I bring unto him that sent me?" David said unto Gad, "I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord. For very great are his mercies, and let me not fall into the hand of man." I've read about a man doing a sin. And then I've read the reaction of his God to that sin. And I want to speak to you tonight from a subject. When the Lord sent a prophet to David and interrupted him and saying, "This is what the Lord said." I want to use a subject, God's interruption. God's interruption. There are many times that God must deal adversely and hard with men. I don't believe that it's really the desire of the Lord to have to do that. God lets things happen and those things happening many times are things that are intended to change us and our thinking and the way that we live. You say, "Brother Foss, I don't believe that God lets things happen." Well, believe what you want to believe. But God does His best to change us. But if we refuse the kinder hand of the Lord, He does know how to speak a language that you will understand. He chose by the foolishness of preaching not only to save, but the ministry is the perfecting edge and the honing stone that brings the church into its proper perspective. When men refuse to hear the ministry, that is anointed, then God has no alternative but to speak to us in a way that we'll understand Him. There have been things in my life that's happened to me that at the time I could not understand what was really going on. And some of them severe enough that I almost lost my way in the wilderness that it plunged me into. But when I began to listen, God began to let me know it's because I want to talk to you and I want to love you and I needed to get your attention. In our affluence, with everything that we have, Brother Huntley so ably preached to us this morning about desire. If you don't have a desire, you really won't pray, because there's not much need for you to pray. You don't have to pray for your food. You got it. You have it. The early days of our ministry, I raised by a pioneer of the Pentecostal way. I know what it's like not to have food in the house because of the ministry. Not because of some foolishness and something that somebody done, but because we were involved in the work of God. In my ministry, I've seen the time that I didn't have money to buy food for my children and didn't know where it was going to come from. You know, I could call home and Dad pastored a good church and I could have got anything perhaps that I needed, but there's something about a man that has a desire to make it on his own. But to pray for food today, it's almost repetition the way we thank Him for it. Let alone pray about it. Every time you say grace, it's usually the same identical thing. Well, let's talk a little while. I remember the days when we eat out of an old blue speckled white porcelain pan that was our dish. And the plates were turned upside down at the table. Honey, you didn't sit down and just say, Lord, we ask you to bless our food and our fellowship with our friends. In Jesus' name, amen. You didn't just sit down and say, God is good, God is great, thank the Lord for this food, amen. You didn't say, now lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Honey, when we got down to pray, they prayed. Some of the old preachers, I dreaded to see them come. And I would tell Dad, Daddy, looks like they would pray before they get here. Oh, man, they shell the corn. When they got on their knees and they prayed, sometimes 30 minutes, sometimes 40 minutes, everything on the table getting cold, hungry little boy kneeling down, knees are hurting, wishing they'd get through. Well, Brother Foss, no, you don't have to pray for clothes. You've probably got more clothes than most of the pioneers of the Pentecostal church had. My dad had one suit to his name when he went to Columbus, Ohio. And he preached a revival back in 1933. One suit. And he knelt down one night on the platform and he said it suddenly turned cold. And he got up. He didn't kneel down anymore. His coat was a little too long and he wore the coat. But a man happened to see what happened. And the next day took him downtown Columbus and bought my dad a suit. We don't have to pray about that. How many times do I get a call in our church on the phone? Brother Foss, I want you to pray for me. Okay? I'm going to the hospital in the morning. And I'm going to have surgery. And I want you to pray that everything will be all right. What a change in the way that it used to be. So I oblige and I pray. Lord, guide the surgeon's hand. Lord, give them a speedy recovery. Let everything be all right. And let them get well according to the way that it ought to be. But there used to be a day that you didn't have the money to go to a hospital. You didn't have the insurance to have a surgery. It was pray or die. But that's not with us anymore. We don't really have to talk to God. We've got everything going the way we want it to go, and we come to church and we occasionally praise Him. And have you really worshiped Him tonight? Or have you done what everybody else was doing and you just kind of joined in with the crowd? But did you really worship? I'm watching the clock. Just don't you watch it. I'm going to preach to you in a little bit. I'm talking to you. We're living in a day that our communication with God is only governed by desire. If you have a desire to talk to God, you'll talk to Him. Otherwise, you drift. You go as long as you can go before you get desperate. And God has to do something to us to get our attention. Oh, friend, He got my attention one morning, 12:42 on September the 12th. 12:42 a.m., my phone rang, and I could hear the shortwave radios, and the DPS, that's the Department of Public Safety, called and asked me, did I have a son by such and such a name? And I said, yes. He had gone to a singing, and it was on his way home, just 2 miles from the house, the man told me, I called to tell you your son's been killed in a car wreck. Friend, he had my attention. I was still a young preacher. My ministry was coming into focus, and I had already preached many camp meetings and this kind of thing. I was scheduled that year to preach General Conference in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I thought I had everything the way that I wanted it. And now that I look back over it, Brother Jan, God spoke to me dozens of times, but I wasn't sensitive enough to hear what He was saying. That boy, 18 years old, received the Holy Ghost in a youth camp in Texas. Went with me in August to the Oklahoma camp meeting. And his mother and my other two boys in the back seat went to sleep. And Daryl was driving, and I was over there on the other side. And he put his hand over on my leg. And he said, Daddy, this is the last camp meeting I'll ever be in with you. And I want it to be a good one. Played a saxophone, beautiful singer. Brother Jan, you know what I thought? Well, here you are, bud, you're well healed and you got the money and we're going to send him to college and everything's going to be all right and I won't have him this year. That next year he'll be gone from home and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I never one time stopped to listen. But God was talking to me. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm going to preach to you in a few minutes. We got ready to go to the youth camp that Daryl received the Holy Ghost in. And my wife come out to the car. And I still have the Sports Illustrated magazines that the write-ups about him was in it. And quite a sportsman. And I was over the physical education department of our youth camp in Texas. And my wife told me, said, now, honey, said, don't put so much emphasis on playing ball this year. Daryl was a catcher. He was one of the greatest I ever seen behind the plate. Loved it. I loved to play with him. He was my buddy, my firstborn. You know what she told me as I sit in the car with the motor running? She said, we won't have him next year. You need to pray him through this year. Here I am, a preacher. Prayed a little bit every day. Did not know what was happening. Youth camp, the next week going to Arkansas for the camp meeting. The next week, Missouri for the youth camp. On and on and on and on. Just living in a world that seemed to be exactly the way that God wanted it to be for me. Honey, pray him through this year. You may not have him next year. No, I don't know why I'm even into this. This is not anything a part of what I hadn't planned to talk to you about this at all. And I haven't in a long, long time even thought in these terms. But hear me out. I'm going to finish it. The night that he received the Holy Ghost, the choir was singing. Merle Ewing from Louisiana was a choir director. And Daryl was singing lead in the choir. And they had the spotlights. Brother Davis remembers the old round top tabernacle in Texas and the spotlights up at the top and up in that choir loft, and the light was shining on him. The other lights was down, and he had on a white robe, and during the singing of that song, he was singing, someday I'll be crossing, soon I'll be crossing death's chilly waters, and no more this life will I see. And I was sitting there listening to him sing. I watched tears run down his face. He took the cape off, slung it over his shoulders, and walked out of the choir while the choir was singing. Brother Merle Ewan put his hand on his shoulder. Daryl, this is your night. I didn't see him for about 30 or 40 minutes, but then I found him with about four or five young men, and he was flat on his back, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God giving the utterance. God knows how to get your attention. He knows how to speak a language that you will understand. The way that's ordained is for a preacher to preach, and you accept it and you do it. But when you refuse that, God has got to do something else if he's going to save you. We get so carried away in our life, our way of living, that we don't really give it a lot of serious thought. That tomorrow could be the end of the road for you. 3 years ago, when the doctor told me that if I didn't do something in 6 months, I would be a dead man. I had a melanoma cancer. The same week that they found that, they found my wife in her left breast. The doctor called me in and showed me the mammogram and showed me everything. And he said, Brother Foss, he said, the thing that worries me is the way it feels and the halo that's around it in this x-ray. And He said, I'm afraid to tell you what it is. My arm was still bandaged from the biopsies they took out of my arm. And I was facing surgery the next week. And he said, we need to do this surgery as soon as possible. And my wife and I talked it over. And she said, honey, let's wait until yours is over. And then we'll go into mine. I went home a devastated man. But in those two incidences, friend, in my life, God changed my way of thinking. You hear me? But he had to stop me to where he could talk to me and get me to where I could hear him. Everything that we do, we take so much of all of it for granted. You got up this morning feeling good, and you think it's going to be all right. But friend, if God has been talking to you over a period of time, you remember this. It's to your benefit to hear Him, because He can talk a language that you'll understand. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Many times, in spite of all that God does, we still rebel against what He really wants and His desire in us. We're so easy to become intoxicated on life that prayer is a byproduct instead of the mainstream. Oh, I'm not talking about just getting down on your knees and going through the motions. I'm talking about praying. Let me talk to you about this a little bit. Some of you, and I marvel at this being your first camp for the restroom wall. Oh, you don't want me to say things like that, do you? But I'm going to say them. I'll be gone Sunday. And if you tell me to go sooner, well, praise God. But I'm going to preach to you while I'm here. You want to hear what travail is like? They put you in a separate room because when that mother is about to bring forth a child and that pain becomes so intense, the bearing down of that pain, you'll hear that groan. Oh! Hey, friend, the day that you begin to pray, that's the day you're going to see your family saved, your kids saved, your church moved. But somebody has got to learn what it's like to get a hold of God. Our affluence don't demand that we go to the prayer room. It doesn't demand that we pray like that anymore. Drunk on success. Intoxicated by what God has given us. We don't know what it's like to become a person of intercession and get down. Oh, God, I don't want to live if you can't do it. Let me die, God. If you can't do it, let it come, oh Lord, and let me die. Oh, hey, friend, you go into a prayer room today and you hear nice little prayers, but there comes a time that you can't put it into words. It escapes you. You've got to do nothing but groan and moan and utterances that nobody can understand or know anything about. Oh, when I look at you, I see families back home in this great metropolitan area that's away from God. Hey, nobody is going to go into travail for you. Nobody is going to do it for your family. You've got to wake up and understand that I have got to get a hold of God. I have got to move God some way. I've got to do something. Lord, I don't want to question you about what I'm preaching tonight. But oh, friend, if I can make you understand that when everything is so well, we get caught up in so much that we forget it. the basics and what it's like. That's what happened to my friend David. I love to read about him. Here's the man that I shouted with when he took a slingshot and five smooth stones, walked down by a brook, walked out and walked up to Goliath and said, "You come at me with a sword and shield, but I'm coming at you in the name of the Lord." Oh, I shouted with him. I listened to him in Psalms 91 when he made the statement that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In our 5:30 prayer meeting Tuesday, I said, "I'm going to read one of the most powerful Psalms that I've ever read." And I turned to Psalms 23. "The Lord is my shepherd." It talked about still waters. It talked about green pastures. But oh, it talked about more than that. It said, "Though I go into the valley of the shadow of death, you are going to go with me." Oh, I love David. I thought how great he was when he was doing the battles. I shouted when I read about him standing on a hill with Saul's garment, part of it in his hand. "Hey, Saul." I preached on the cry of the sword not too long ago. And I built it around Saul's sword. When he lost the anointing, the sword knew that the anointing was gone. I shouted with David when he went in. And God had rejected Saul. And Saul said, "Well, take my shield and take my armor and here's my sword." That sword, for the first time in a long time, felt the anointing when that little hand went around the handle of that sword. And that sword began to sing a new song. "Maybe I'll taste blood one more time. Maybe I'll know what the battle is one more time." But David laid it aside. Can you imagine a man that was a king getting so drunk on success that he would lose his direction altogether? The preceding verses of what I read to you will tell you about him defeating mighty men, defeating great kings. He got so drunk on the blessings of God. Brother Yacht, he took the king that he conquered. He took his crown and put it on his own head. And here he comes. Can you imagine him acting like that? That's not all he done. It wasn't enough to spill the blood of 10,000 men. He hooked up the chariots to Herod's. And he dished in the bodies of children and mothers and the innocent. There he was, plowing them in the ground. When I read it, I couldn't believe that was my hero. My hero. What are you saying, Brother Foss? When David becomes so drunk on that success, he began to cry. And he said, "I want to know how many men I've got. Just some more of his intoxication. I want to know how big it is. Hey, New York Metro, I want you to grow, but dear God, don't lose the spirit that I'm feeling in this place. Don't get so big that you can't know each other. You can't bear each other's burdens. You can't love each other. You can't cry when your brother cries." The Lord had said, "Don't number Israel. I don't want you to know how many men there are. Because if you know, then you will have a tendency to give that the glory. That me and my 10,000 horsemen, my 10,000 chariots, that we won the battle. I want you to know, David, that I am the one that gives you the victory." In our quest for revival in our church, you know what men have told me? "Brother Foss, you have the finances to do it. Why don't you hire and bring in the greatest evangelist there is? And bring them in. Yeah. Some more of our intoxication. I'll get the evangelist. Hey, the evangelist ain't what you need. A little cloud hopping, upstate man that knows nothing about education. Come in with the power of God. Can do more than we that have been everywhere and know everything, void of the power of God. What you need is a visitation of the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, my God! Give us men that know how to preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And it's not just a dissertation that they've given, they've learned. Hey, I'm sick of crowd control. Will you let me say something and you not think that I'm a smart aleck? I know how to make you shout. And there's times that I will do it. But right now, we don't need that. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. When I say right now, I'm talking about right this very minute. I just made a few statements at the beginning of this meeting. And if I would have continued in that vein, I wouldn't have preached to you because you would have brought the walls down. We've got men that preach, know how to preach, but really don't know what the anointing is. I had one of them tell me, fantastic preacher, I hear you say that God helped you. He's never helped me preach, Brother Foss. What do you mean? I hear you say that God gave you a message. I don't know that God ever gave me a sermon. I dug it out for myself. I go to church to preach. No matter what happens, I preach. Oh God, I don't ever want to get like that. I want to be where I've got to have a touch from the Holy Ghost. I've got to have a touch from the Lord that He can touch me. David, take the crown off. Stop plowing women and children in the ground. Come off of your drunk. You're going to make a mistake. I want to know how many men I've got. Then it'll satisfy me. It was so devastating to his captain that Joab came to him and said, David, why do you want to do that? All of the servants of the Lord belong to you. Don't number them. You know that God said not to do it. Please don't do it. But in his drunken stupor, own success and power, I want to know. Joab came back later. David, please don't. Please don't, David. If you do, you're going to become a trespass against Israel. Oh, my God. Brother, I want you to know. Sister, I want you to know. That if you do some things, it does affect the kingdom. It does have an effect. Hey, buddy, I don't know where you're from. I watched you worship tonight. Stand up here by me. I don't know who's your pastor, but I know he's proud of you. And son, if I ever preached anything to you, hear me tonight. What you do does affect the kingdom of the Lord. If you bring reproach, you become a trespass. You become an obstacle that the devil will magnify. Please don't become a trespass against your church. And if you start looking and you become drunk on being a young man, and the mantle of the Lord touching your shoulder, and you become drunk, and you start looking at a trespass, I'm praying that God speaks to you in a language that you will understand. Don't become a trespass. David,
My God, we're struggling. Thank you, honey. Good boy. We're struggling over mistakes of the past that have become trespasses against us. Don't, David. Don't do it. I beg you, David. I've killed. I've shed blood. I've fought. I've done it all. But David, if you care anything about Israel, don't. Don't do what you're going to do. You're going to make it a trespass. Brother Yana, don't want to cross anybody's theory and thinking. And if I'm getting in the wrong area, pull my coattail, please. There it is. Or pull my shirt tail, whatever. Pastor of New York Metro, let me talk to you. Don't do anything that would be a trespass against this young district. The time will come that you'll be tempted to compromise the things that we have stood for all of these years. In our city, we're struggling right now with holding what we believed and the standard that we uphold and held so dear. When I hear men that have been strong among us say that 95% of what we preach has all nothing been, it's been nothing but tradition, it scares me. It scares me. If Brother Foss goes home and I compromise the issues that stand before us, all we need is God to have revival. You don't need to let down anything. If you do, you're going to make it hard on us that want to hold on to God. Trespass. Trespass. If you go back, I pray that God speaks to you, man, in a language that you will understand. Oh yes, it'd be easy to say that it's all right to cut your hair. It's all right to dress like you want to. It's all right to live like you want to live. You don't have to be baptized. Just come on. And God is love. Honey, God's more than love. It's more to it than that. Oh, but fellow man, my colleague in the faith, don't lay down the things that have meant so much to us and begin to reach for the worldliness of this world. Hold on to the old apostolic doctrine, because if you reach for it, you destroy so much that we have given so much for. David, don't do it. Don't do it. Please, David. Joab begged him. Then when he came, Holoko Shamahundri under Mahaya. When he came back and said, David, here is the number of them. How quick could he come to his senses and say, I shouldn't have done it. I wish that I could undo it. But you can't get it back, sir. It's gone. It's gone forever out of your reach. Cut a feather pillow. Get in the wind and shake it. Then decide you shouldn't have done it. You can never gather the feathers back. Please, please, please don't be a trespass. Because if you do, it's going to cost us. I look at our organization and I love it. I've given my life for it. My dad in front of me has given his life for it. But I'm here to tell you, friend, as long as it walks with God, I'm going to walk with it. But God, don't let us become a trespass because we don't hold the truths that God has given to us. This is not what I planned on preaching. But I feel like that I'm where God wants me to be right now. David, now then that you've heard it, how do you feel? How do you feel, David? I wish that I hadn't have done it. I wish that it had not been so. It doesn't matter. And then here come the man of God. David, The Lord sent me to tell you that you've got to choose one of three things. What are you going to choose? Oh, if I could get you to see tonight what it does for you to lose your grip on God. He said, I'm going to send famine. David closed his eyes. Oh, friend, listen. I've been in foreign countries where I've seen swelling bodies, protruding bellies, eyes bulging out, rickets in their legs, diarrhea so bad that their body refuse running down their little legs. Children, I seen them give them a bowl of milk, take a swallow of it, couldn't hold it, vomited on the ground. I've seen them little darlings get down and lap it like a dog off of the ground. Famine. I can't stand famine. I can't stand to think about the little Israelites, our children dying. No, I'm not going to do that. I can't choose that. I won't choose that. You see, when God interrupts us, sometimes that interruption is the most valuable thing that ever come to you. But you don't understand what it's all about. David! David! You're going to lose all of Israel if you're not careful. All right? I'm going to let you flee in front of your enemies. It'll be for several days, David. They'll die for the sword. I can't do that because of what it'll do to the name. The name. The name of Jehovah. The name of Jehovah God. I can't do that. All right, you got one other thing, David. It's pestilence. Trouble at the hand of God. The sword of the Lord is going to come through. And He's going to destroy. He's going to destroy. He's going to kill. You're going to lose. David said, yes, but His mercy is great. Let me fall into the hands of God. All because he dared to trespass. If you would have listened, David, in the beginning, God sent a man to tell you not to do it. But you were so drunk on what you was doing that you couldn't hear him. Am I talking to a David tonight that you're not going to hear me? Did God send Wayne Huntley here to preach to you and you're not going to hear it? You're going to go away from this camp meeting and continue to move on toward a trespass. The first wave of trouble come to Israel. My memory is serving me correctly. 170,000 died the first time. David was going, and he saw the sword of the Lord drawn against Israel again to kill a third part of all of Israel. David fell on his face and began to pray. Brother Foss, why are you telling me this? I'm trying to let you know, sir, that if you will understand, you don't have to go into trouble. But if you don't hear the words of God's man, you're headed for the biggest trouble of all of your life. You hear me. Hear me. What's it going to be like when God really has to interrupt you? What's it going to be like? How long has it been since you've really been interrupted? How long has it been since you interrupted anybody? You see, when you get to the place that you really want to see something happen, you're going to do something about it. Children, you don't know where they are. You don't know where they are tonight. But you're not concerned enough to pray. Buddy, is your mother and dad have the Holy Ghost? Your parents have the Holy Ghost? All your brothers and sisters have the Holy Ghost? You got any friends that are lost? Your mother and dad saved? How many of your family got the Holy Ghost? Two. What's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to your mother? What's going to happen to your dad? You got any brothers and sisters not saved? What's going to happen to them? Are you waiting for a preacher to come and really do it? Honey, don't wait. You can't wait. Do you realize that if the Lord comes tonight, Mom and Daddy's going to burn in a red hot hell? And it doesn't disturb you? Your parents saved? Your mom? What about your dad? He's what? Backslid. Do you really need to hear from God? Do you? You got any children? They all saved? Do you really care? Answer me. How much do you care? How long has it been? Just let me talk to you a minute. How long has it been since you stayed awake all night praying? Are they still at home? Have you ever gone in and just woke them up and said, "Honey, wake up. Mama can't stand it any longer. I've prayed all night. And if you're lost, I can't stand it." You see, what Brother Foss is trying to show you, we can shout, we can dance, we can run, we can love God, and we lose all sight of what's at home. Somebody's got to learn how to travail, honey. You brought them into this world. You're going to have to get them out. Don't feel bad at me because I love you. I wonder what they would do if Mama would come home from this camp meeting and run in the house. Wake up, honey. Wake up. Wake up. Please don't sleep. I can't stand it. You see, when we get to the place that we're not intoxicated, then we're going to learn how to pray. We're going to learn how to pray. We're going to learn how to pray. Going to learn how to pray. Going to learn how to talk to God. If you don't, Mama, if you fail me, you're a trespass to my soul. It would have been better if I would have been born still and never breathed. It would have been better than if you and my dad had never came together than for you to bring me into this world and leave me like I am. And you dancing and you shouting and you loving God, and you know that I'm going to hell and you're not really upset about it. Just doing with the Lord. We're a failure if we come to this camp and gorge on the good things of God and we don't learn what it's like to go home. Hey, hey, you'll save some as though you pull them out of the fire. Honey, do you have the Holy Ghost? Do you have the Holy Ghost? You have the Holy Ghost? How old are you? You want the Holy Ghost? Is your mama here? Would you go sit by her? Wait a minute. When you go sit by her, I want you to look right at her and tell her, "Mother, I don't have the Holy Ghost. And if I die tonight, I am going to be lost." Would you go tell her that? Brother Foss, you shouldn't do that. Hey, it's that serious, friend. Brother Teets, I didn't know it was your daughter. I had no idea. I didn't know who she was. But until we can wake up and understand that our kids are going to hell. I got a boy that's holding on to God by a bare string. All night long, every time I turned over last night, I was saying, God, get a hold of Gary. Trouble in his home. Trouble everywhere he turns. Something's got to happen to us. You're going to become a trespass to your own family if you don't do what God has laid out to do. It is the will of God for Zion to travail. It's the will of God for the church to pray. It's the will of God for us to be disturbed. But we've been rocked so long until there's no disturbing us anymore. Television has shown us so much violence that nobody can break through to us. Everything, we've become so callous that the Word of God doesn't touch us anymore. But God sent me to New York to tell you that He can speak a language that you will understand. I'm not usually at this place, but I really don't know how to close this. I don't know what to do with it. Other than mother, dad, brother, sister, let me talk to you. While you're in this place tonight, while God is interrupting us, everybody close your eyes. If you're here, and you got a child in this building that's lost, you need to go to him. I wish my son was here with me tonight. I'd like to put my arm around him and tell him, son, come go with daddy. Let's go pray. If your brother or sister's here and they don't know God, don't be a trespass. And not do what God's telling you to do. You need to go to Him and tell Him, come go with me. If you're here and your children are not saved and they're not here, you need to pick them up on your shoulders and tell God, I'm not going to be the same. I'm going to take them to an altar. If your parents are not saved, you need to tell God, turn it over to me. I'm going to pray it through and I'm coming tonight with my mother and dad on my shoulders. Joab, talk to David. David, don't do it. You'll become a trespass, David. God's going to interrupt us, David, if you do it. Hey, friend, let me be a Joab and talk to you. Don't do what you're thinking about doing, but let it come on your heart and get up and bring them to an altar. Brother Foss, that's really not the will of God. Oh? You're not in the invitational age anymore. You're in the compelling age. Go and compel them to come in.
If this message has been a blessing to you today, please pass it along to someone else or simply tell them about preachitaudio.com.